And here we have the Western appropriation of this tradition of catechetical homilies for people who are being received into the church, and reflections on the mysteries of the faith for those who have already been received, by St. Ambrose of Milan, who makes use of the Greek tradition to a very great extent. He read and loved Origen and many other Greek authors. He was very perfectly fluent, as a well-educated Roman patrician would be in his day, in the Greek literary tradition, and he was able to bequeath that, to pass it on in his own Latin writings to the Western Church. And of course, he is one of the great four great doctors or teachers of this early period of the Christian Church. What I'd like for us to be aware of in these catechetical homilies is his willingness to do what we already saw in St. Cyril of Jerusalem, more or less hinted at and used a little bit, and that is to appropriate the language of the Song of Songs, nuptial mysticism, and introduce it as a way of understanding our relationship with Christ, and to do that almost from the very beginning. He's giving these lectures to people who are being received into the church, primarily. It is also, of course, going to be heard by and reflected upon by people who have been Christians for a long period of time. But for St. Ambrose, it would seem that the language and the imagery of the Song of Songs is not reserved to the Christian mature. It is to be provided to those who are trying to understand the mysteries from the very beginning. A reminder of what we've said since the beginning of this course, that the language of contemplation, all the use of the language of divine union, is not so much an attainment that's put off after years of ascetical striving, as it is a constant experience of refreshment that deepens our capacity to understand and draw nearer Christ. If we did not have that sense of a union with God that was not only possible, but already beginning to be achieved, why would we persevere? Why would we continue? Ambrose is providing that kind of a sense of the goal towards which we move as the first fruits that are already being enjoyed by those who are being received into the church. So if we look at the first section that I've given you from chapter 2 of his homilies on the mysteries, section 6, he says, when you see the deacon and the priest and the bishop, don't look at their outward form, but instead look beyond these physical people to the mysteries that they symbolize. This is a way, he says, of appropriating God's own way of looking at the world, not only by surface appearance, but looking beneath the surface. He's inviting everyone to be contemplative in their understanding of what's happening there at the altar in this great celebration. He too talks about the turning to the east as a way of renouncing the devil first in the west, and then turning to Christ. And he says, and beholding him face to face. That's going to be the goal. We behold Christ face to face. What did we see, he says in chapter C? We see the things that are not seen, because those are temporal. We see the things in a certain mysterious way beyond surface appearance that are lying beneath it. And then, in chapter 5, he really appropriates in a very powerful way the language of the Song of Songs. In chapter 5, section 29, he says that the ointment, again like Cyril does, is like the ointment that is poured out and causes the maidens to love you and to be drawn after you. This is a very common image, that when we are anointed with this post-baptismal chrismation, this post-baptismal anointing with the fragrant oil, we become attractive, we become beautiful, our whole selves, as it were, become attractive to God, which is a way of saying this image allows us to dare to believe that God delights in us, that the sacraments themselves are both a symbolic reminder and a mysterious means of imparting a truth that we'll need to meditate on every day of our lives, that we are loved by God, passionately loved by God. God finds us beautiful and seeks us, travels towards us. We are drawing him after us, as it were, in the order of his garments. We are, as it were, the bride in the Song of Songs. And then in chapter 7, he continues this use of the language of the Great Canticle, towards the bottom. Who is this who comes up from Edom? Who is glorious in white apparel? This is the King of Glory. This is Christ's resurrection. Christ is rising to meet us. Christ rises in order to be more fully in relationship with us. And then in section 37, which I've highlighted with that text against the blue background, Christ sees the baptized like the bride. We are, in so far as we have been baptized, rendered like the bride in the Song of Songs in relationship to God. And he uses all that beautiful poetic language. You are beautiful, my love, or fair is the older English term for that. You are beautiful, your eyes are like a dove's. All this language that is perhaps a little strange for us to are sheep-like, or teeth-like a flock of sheep. In a very agrarian culture, these would have been very powerful and important images. You are all beautiful, my love. There is no blemish in you. And then place me as a seal upon your heart, as a signet upon your arm, down in number 41. Again, my bride, you are beautiful. Then he goes on in number 54 to describe the Eucharistic change, the transformation of the elements into the body and blood of Christ. And he also uses the Song of Songs in his discourse on the Eucharist, on the Lord's Supper. Christ, he says in number 55, feeds the church with these sacraments, and therefore he says to her, and again Ambrose chooses the language of the songs, you are beautiful, my sister, my spouse, you are comely, you are like honeycomb, a garden enclosed as my sister, my spouse, a fountain sealed. So he invites us to see not only in the sacraments of initiation, but in our ongoing reception of the Eucharist, a stepping into a union with God, which is like the relationship between husband and wife, which is so beautifully symbolized in this language and this poetry of the Song of Songs. And I invite you to come back to this and take a look at it on your own and see how fearless he is, how perfectly willing he is to use the most, we would say today, even sensual language as a means of communicating the truths of the faith, the possibility of a deep union with God by means of our participation in the liturgy.